silence is something for which our daily schedules seldom give us time. And yet silence is often one of the most effective prompters for the response of that which lies within us to God. In these brief moments this morning, you are invited to participate in a worship service of listening to the scripture, of singing, and of being silent. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you upon earth, therefore let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hand? For when dreams increase, empty words grow many. But do you fear God? If you see in a province the poor oppressed, and justice and right violently taken away, do not be amazed at the matter. For the high official is watched by a higher, and there are yet higher ones over them. But in all, A king is an advantage to a land with cultivated fields. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with gain. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what gain has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the surfeit of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil which I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil, which he shall carry away in his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain has he that he toiled for the wind, and spent all his days in darkness and grief, in much vexation and sickness and resentment? Behold, what I have seen to be good and to be fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun the few days of his life which God has given him. For this is his lot. Every man also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and find enjoyment in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart.
Brothers, remember that we who are teachers
will be judged by a very high standard. We all make mistakes, and in all kinds of ways. But the man who can claim that he never says the wrong thing can consider himself perfect. For if he can control his tongue, he can control every other part of his personality. Men control the movements of a large animal like the horse with a tiny bit placed in its mouth. And in the case of ships, for all their size and the momentum they have with a strong wind behind them, a very small rudder controls their course according to the helmsman's wishes. The human tongue now, physically, is quite small, but what tremendous effects it can boast of. A whole forest can be set ablaze by one tiny spark of fire. The tongue is as dangerous as any fire, and it has vast potentialities for evil. It can poison the whole body. It can make the whole of life a blazing hell. Beasts, birds, reptiles, and all kinds of sea creatures can be, and in fact are, tamed by man. But no one can tame the human tongue. It is an evil always liable to break out, and the poison of it, which it spreads, is deadly. We use the tongue to bless our Father, God, and we use the same tongue to curse our fellow men who are all created in God's likeness. Blessing and curses come out of the same mouth. Surely now, my brothers, this is the sort of thing which ought never to happen to us. Are there some wise and understanding men among you? Then your lives should be an example of humility, the humility which is born of true wisdom. But if your heart is full of rivalry and bitter jealousy, then do not boast of your wisdom. Don't deny the truth that you must recognize in your inmost heart. You may acquire a certain superficial wisdom, but it does not come from God. It comes instead from the world, from your own lower nature. For wherever you find jealousy and rivalry, you also find disharmony and all other kinds of evil. The wisdom that comes from God is first utterly pure, then peace-loving, gentle, approachable, full of tolerant thoughts and kindly actions. There is no breath of favoritism, no hint of hypocrisy. And the wise are peacemakers, my brothers, peacemakers who go on quietly from day to day, sowing for a harvest of righteousness, not only in others, but in themselves as well.
Our Father, it is our prayer that thou wouldst deliver us from our fear of silence, and that thou wouldst guide us to use our silence to give guidance to our spoken words. From the cowardice that shrinks from new truth, from the laziness that is content with half truth, and from the arrogance that believes it knows all truth, O God of truth, deliver us.